Justin Jefferson has just been extended 4 years, $160 million. We begin our 2024 preview of this season with our top five player rankings and an AFC East preview. I'm Adam Wright, and this is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that sixth or seventh spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. We have a lot to talk about today. And so, as I teased at the end of our last Friday episode, and we posted about this over the weekend, we began our summer series of player rankings. So, all of the skill positions going through the defensive and offensive sides of the ball, we rank the top five going into the upcoming year. This is the fourth year that we have done this, and I'd say it's been pretty successful. We're going to start, as always, with safeties, and we're also going to do our third annual division previews. So what we will do is preview every single division. We'll do one a week, and we're going to start, as always, with the AFC East. So we'll get to that later tonight, later in this episode. But we're going to start out with the breaking news here, which is that Justin Jefferson has been extended. And this is so it was a 4-year, $140 million deal. And so he becomes the highest paid non-quarterback by annual value of all time. Wow, my mic is acting up here. Am I cutting in and out?
Not on my end, no.
No? Okay. No. He becomes the highest paid player who is not a quarterback. And I got to say, I kind of expected a little bit more. I thought this guy would be getting I thought he'd be getting $40 million plus. This isn't as bad, but this is still low key, like on the lower end of quarterback money. And so, CJ, you and I were talking about this over the phone right after the news. This is not as bad as it looks, the quarterback market. It has not blown up as much as you may think, but the top-tier wide receivers, like the CeeDee Lambs, the Ja'Marr Chases, the Tyreek Hills of the world, those guys are the guys who are going to get paid through the teeth, like – money, this will be money that will bankrupt your team. However, the reason I don't see this as being that bad, the reason for that is because I think there are two different markets in the wide receiver department. So there's the Justin Jeffersons and the CeeDee Lambs who are going to get around this kind of money. CeeDee Lamb's probably going to get more, and so will Ja'Marr Chase, because that's just the way the market works. But you also have the Jalen Waddles, the Nico Collins, the T. Higgins, the Calvin Ridleys, right? These are the guys who are on the lower tier of wide receivers, but they're still wide receiver ones. So when you look at that, $83 million for Jalen Waddle is not that bad, especially since he is a number one on another team. He is. Nico Collins getting in the 70s. That's not something I saw coming as a wide receiver one. So that's something that Deebo Samuel will probably get. T. Higgins will probably get. These are all wide receiver, and Devontae Smith already got that in the 70 millions. This is something to look at because these are wide receiver ones on championship caliber teams who can be ones on championship teams. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of interesting, but CJ, what are your thoughts?
I like to look at this from a league-wide standpoint, and I like to issue this message to the Dallas Cowboys and the Cincinnati Bengals. The ball is in your court now. You see, Jefferson was the first domino to fall. And I'm not going to lie to you. I did expect him to get more. I thought he would get at least 150 mil total, probably breaking near that 180 mil mark. But I'm glad it's 140, at least for no one else's sake other than the Vikings. But now, you know that there's a real fierce competitor in CeeDee Lamb and in Ja'Marr Chase. And you know, they're probably going to want more. And whether or not they get it remains to be seen. But Jefferson, I believe, has set a floor for what Lamb and Chase will want. And I said it was for the three of these teams, the Vikings, Cowboys, and Bengals, it was a race against time because the first one to get their deal done obviously sets the floor. And now I would imagine Lamb's asking price probably just bumped up another 10 mil because Lamb obviously fancies himself the best receiver in the game, and Chase probably thinks the same way about himself as well. I'm not here to rank receivers, at least not this episode. And
what they believe.
But it's literally, like I said, just what they believe. And I'll pat the Vikings on the back. They, you know, they put their heads down. They got it done. You know, but now, you know, we're going to have to see, you know, what happens with Jordan Addison. Does J.J. McCarthy pan out? That's just something the Vikings should be glad that they got, you know, that they got past. But the wide receiver market, like you mentioned, it's so weird how when we see these guys get paid, I think you're absolutely correct. There starts to become two tiers of wide receiver ones. Like the true game breakers, and then like the good ones, what we would call the low end ones. And we keep bringing up this point, and that's only because it's true. It's how many of these guys with their contracts will win a Super Bowl? I mean, look, let's face it, Justin Jefferson is arguably the best in the game. At least that's the consensus view. But are the Vikings true Super Bowl contenders?
Depends on McCarthy, but.
But even as a rookie, I don't think that McCarthy's gonna, you know, be that surprise, you know, Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud kind of deal.
The not Bengals, this year, but
yeah, I would say the Bengals are at least. But then again, they haven't paid Chase yet. Will they continue to have that status if it's just Burrow and Chase eating up like a whole fourth of their cap space as the rest of their team withers away? Same thing with Dallas. And I've mentioned before, Dallas is in a worse situation because you also have to pay Dak Prescott actual real quarterback money for an actual real quarterback. And you're going to have to pay Michael Parsons like a top three edge rusher. And none of these guys, I don't think, are too keen on taking a hometown discount. So, well, these guys, like, I mean, if you prioritize cash over a ring, then so be it. You know, to each their own. It is a free country. You can prefer what you want to prefer. But I don't know, like, if you're just going to hurt your team in the long run, then, you know, it might be worth, like, trading or something. Because these teams, now that Jefferson got his deal done, any leverage that you have over Lamb and Chase just diminished fast. The clock is ticking, and, granted, you're going to have to pony up eventually, but I would hate to be like the third team that pays these guys. You know what I mean? Because whoever between Lamb and Chase gets their deal done first, that final team, they're going to be seven layers of screwed. Because you're probably going to have to give up the most out of the three. That is just my stance.
Yeah. Elaborating on this kind of level of two tiers of wide receiver ones financially. So Nico Collins was 3 years, $72 million. Devontae Smith was, I just had it up. Devontae Smith, his contract was, it was 3 years, $75 million. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Waddles was 3 years, $84 million. Lower on the years, but also lower on the money. So when you look at those contracts, those are wide receiver ones who can win a Super Bowl if they are your best weapon. So is T. Higgins. So is Deebo Samuel. Or I would say Brandon Ayuk at this point. And Deebo Samuel too. If you have one of those two, then they're both ones. They're not on the tier of Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase. They're not on that level, but they're still wide receivers who, if they are your best guy, are going to win you a Super Bowl. So I can see a massive stalemate growing eventually after some of these deals are struck. I fully expect Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb to eventually get their deals.
Yeah.
Once these players on these teams do not win a Super Bowl, and the teams with the lower tier wide receiver ones are winning Super Bowls, that's going to cause teams to think twice about giving these deals. And when you have some of these wide receiver ones come up, like Marvin Harrison Jr., or name any wide receiver who just began his career like this year, teams are going to look at that and they're going to say, well, why would we pay you if we can just find the cheaper option somewhere else and win and actually win the Super Bowl with them, because they won't be as demanding of their money, right?
It's true. We've
talked about this before. How often do we see that wide receiver one win with an average quarterback?
You don't.
You don't see it. And yes, I get the whole quarterback issue with paying the quarterbacks. I can see that issue, because a big contract for a quarterback is crippling, but a smaller contract like the one they gave to Daniel Jones is also bad. And it's bad because these quarterbacks because you don't win the Super Bowl with that average level quarterback.
You can't. And it's true. And it's becoming blatantly obvious that the elite quarterback is needed infinitely more than the elite wide receiver. You know?
So that tier two wide receiver can still win you a Super Bowl. The tier two wide receiver one, that is. The tier two quarterback is not winning you the Super Bowl. So that's something to consider. So that's, yeah. You know, like if Devontae Smith was a Patriot, he'd be their wide receiver one, and he would be a legitimate wide receiver one for Drake May. I think if he was on that team, he would be perfectly fine. T. Higgins, if he was a Patriot, right?
It'd be fine. Yeah. Cause he can actually be a number one.
He can be a number one, and he'd be a cheaper option than Justin Jefferson. So let's look at the Vikings in their entirety. So the Vikings just overpaid on Justin Jefferson. 4 years, $140 million. If you believe he's worth it, that's fine. Cool.
Hey, Adam.
What I will say is that if you believe that that's an okay contract, you also believe that it's okay to not win a Super Bowl. Because you're now centering your entire team around a wide receiver with a quarterback who you don't even know is going to be the guy. And if he is the guy, you're going to have to pay him too. Between the elite quarterback and the elite wide receiver, if you choose the wide receiver, you're a moron.
Yeah. And
what were you about to say? And also, let me finish because I wasn't done.
On their team too.
I forgot I didn't finish. Yeah. On their team, Justin Jefferson's not their only wide receiver who's a one. Jordan Addison is two. And Jordan Addison, he's not as good, clearly not as good as Jefferson, but he'll be a cheaper option. And if you had Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson, it's cheaper. And you also have a better chance to build a team around you. And you'll probably have a higher chance of winning a Super Bowl if you had just Addison and Hawkinson and then built the rest of the team around him than if you were to have Justin Jefferson on that team. And also Addison is going to ask for money eventually. And it's going to be another T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase situation. Yes. T. Higgins is a number one, but they have their number one in Jefferson now, and they paid him like it's going to be for the next 4 years. So why did they bring in Addison at all? Why did you spend a first round pick on a wide receiver who isn't even going to be your number one? He will be somewhere else, but you just spent you just threw the bag at your number one to the point where you probably aren't even going to afford the other guy who you just spent a first round pick on that you could have used on defense. Yep. You see the problem here?
Mm-hmm.
And if like also you just spent a first round pick on JJ McCarthy. If he ends up being the guy in 4 years when Addison is balling out, who are you paying? And will you even be able to afford McCarthy? You see? So I get it. Justin Jefferson is a generational talent. I always thought that from the moment he entered the league, I thought he was going to be the best in the game. But you still need to be financially smart about paying your players. And this could end up becoming crippling. Because now you have to – Addison is going to ask for a lot of money too. Not as much because he's not as good, but he's going to ask for money. And you're going to have to give him the boot, which is a wasted first-round pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's my point there.
Yeah, very concise. I appreciate it. So basically, the thing with Addison, right? His rookie year, he has 70 catches, 911 yards, and 10 touchdowns. And that's just the groundwork. You know what I mean? He's going to play very well. And if you are the type of guy that would say, hey, I would much rather have the elite wide receiver over the elite quarterback, that tells me that you care more about the highlight reel and the stat sheet than you do about actually winning. So those are just those 2 points. And however, we do have a bit of breaking news, just probably to end this segment. Yep. The Niners and running back Christian McCaffrey have agreed to terms on a 2-year, $38 million extension through 2027. Making him officially the NFL's top paid running back. Good for him. You know,
keep going.
No. Okay. So that's basically it as far as I go. But yeah, I mean, for those listening at home, how many times do Adam and I have to say that the elite quarterback with a low tier wide receiver one will win you infinitely more games and way more Super Bowls than the low tier QB one and the elite wide receiver? Because at the end of the day, the quarterback is the field general for a reason. Wins and losses are widely considered a QB stat for a reason. So if you do not have the Lamar Jacksons, the Joe Burrows, the Patrick Mahomeses, if you will, then they're just literally like why bother? Because let me tell you something. You could give Daniel Jones, Justin Jefferson, and C.D. Lamb, and the Giants would be a wild card exit. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes can win a Super Bowl with Juju Smith-Schuster. I rest my case.
Yeah, and Tyree, and Travis Kelce. That's a pretty important guy. But you can clearly see which positions win and which don't. And I don't condone overpaying for your quarterbacks, like through the teeth. But you have a better chance of surviving with the big quarterback contract than the wide receivers or the running backs or, you know, the edge rushers, right? It's a quarterback driven league. So yeah, Joe Burrow got a massive extension, but they probably would have been contenders if he wasn't hurt. Josh Allen got a massive extension and they were still in the playoffs and nearly made the AFC championship. You know, Patrick Mahomes, after his deal, has been to three Super Bowls and won two of them and has been to the AFC championship every single year of those.
No, he went to four Super Bowls and won three.
No, but that was after – I'm talking about after the contract extension.
Oh, okay. After the extension. Okay.
The contract extension came after the 2019 season.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
So there's after he won his first Super Bowl. So there's, you know, that should rest your case right there. Joe, the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes have survived it. They traded away Tyreek Hill. They had some of the worst case scenarios I've ever seen with them. And I never thought they were going to win two of the three Super Bowls they've won. And they did it with no Tyreek Hill. Their best wide receivers were Juju Smith-Schuster in 2022. And in 2023, it was Rashee Rice.
Yeah, no, that's true.
They survived it. If they decided to pay Tyreek Hill instead, are they winning Super Bowls?
Well, probably because they have Patrick Mahomes.
No, I mean, at this point, I'm saying instead. So Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have been paid. And let's say if you have Tyreek Hill instead of him, and you go with, let's say, an Alex Smith level quarterback or a Kirk Cousins.
No, then absolutely not. There will be no Super Bowls in Kansas City, and there would be no dynasty.
Tyreek Hill's the best wide receiver in the game. One of them, Justin Jefferson could be too. Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the game. Since Tyreek Hill has left, yes, he's put up unbelievable statistics, but what does he have to show for it?
Yeah.
Just a couple playoff appearances where he got one and done. Patrick Mahomes, ever since then, two seasons, two Super Bowl victories, one league MVP, two Super Bowl MVPs. I rest my case too, which is the same point as yours. Yeah. But
No, you're right. You're right.
Christian McCaffrey extended 2 years, $38 million. I feel like this kind of this reinforces
my point.
Because, and I'll tell you why. I mentioned how there's going to be a stalemate with the wide receiver market. This is the aftermath of what we're going to get eventually, where this isn't a huge deal. It's not. 2 years, $19 million per year, and that's not even with guaranteed, I believe.
I don't think it is, no.
So, and he's 31 years old. So, this was an issue that the running back position had. And now it's starting to level out because running backs realize they have no leverage. Now, they're a better position than the wide receiver position is a better position than the running back, but you're still going to see there's going to be some sort of stalemate going. Teams are going to realize that paying for this generational talent through the teeth is not worth it. Teams like the Dolphins are going to look at Tyreek Hill and say, well, we have Jalen Waddle. You're making us you're putting us in cap hell for years. And Jalen Waddle is just as good. And the Bengals are going to be kicking themselves for paying Ja'Marr Chase over T. Higgins. Because T. Higgins, at least if they paid him, I'm not saying pay T. Higgins over Ja'Marr Chase, but I'm saying if you pay Ja'Marr Chase the amount that he believes he's worth, you're not going to have money to surround the rest of your team. It's just going to be the Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase show. And they're not going to have the money to protect Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is going to get hurt again. Ja'Marr Chase is going to continue to put up these numbers and do the gritty. And he's going to be everyone's favorite fantasy player, but they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
The Bengals are trying to screw themselves over. And they're going to end up, T. Higgins doesn't want to play here anymore. Ja'Marr Chase wants the bag. Tyler Boyd's already gone. And yes, you've worked on that offensive line, but eventually Amarius Mims is going to ask for money too, and you're going to have to give him the boot. And Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be a cap casualty.
Yeah, there's the issue.
All right. Let's cut to the chase here. Next, we have our player rankings, leading off with top five safeties going into the 2024 NFL season. Won't want to miss this. Next, this is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting, Adam Wright, with CJ Medeiros. We have reached our fourth annual player rankings. We are going through top five safeties. So we'll each go through all five at once. CJ, take it away.
Ah, thank you, Adam. You're very generous. So for me, we're obviously talking about the top five safeties. We're going from number five to number one. My number five, and this might shock some people, but if you think about it, it really shouldn't, is Antoine Winfield Jr. This man here, last season, 122 combined tackles, six sacks, and three picks. And let me tell you something. He got the bag to show for it. Also throw in 12 passes defensed and six forced fumbles. Oh, this man is absolutely becoming a force to be reckoned with. And this is his truly like elite top five season, which is why I put him at five, like, you know, just in case it's a flash in the pan, because, you know, this is like his fourth year and it was a contract year. And, you know, Adam and I tend to be wary of guys absolutely balling out their contract year, but I don't see any reason for him to stop. This man just went absolutely ballistic. Now, this one might shock some people. My number four is Minkah Fitzpatrick. And I know what you're saying. Ah, but CJ, is he not the best safety in the league? You thought so last season. Yeah, but he only played 10 games because, you know, he was hampered with injury throughout most of the year. And you could tell he wasn't playing the same. 64 tackles, that's basically it. One tackle for loss, like no picks, no forced fumbles, like no nothing. Like, it's just, so don't get me wrong. He's good. He's obviously a top five safety, which is why I have him here. However, you know, he was kind of hurt. So there's something you have to consider there. And then my number three. Now, this was where people, you know, just might not be happy at all. Of the Chargers, Derwin James. I don't know why, but he took a step back. He really did. And I know what you're also thinking. Oh, but he had a career high in tackles, both solo tackles and combined. He had 125 combined tackles, and he had 100. And he had an 86 solo. That's good, you would say. Yeah, but he's suffering from a little thing I like to call, speaking of the Chargers, Kenneth Murray syndrome, which is where I'm seeing a lot of tackles, but not a lot else. Because, you know, he has one interception, 7 passes deflected, that's pretty good. 2 fumble recoveries. But that's literally it. And if you look at advanced defense, quarterbacks have a near 69 completion percentage when targeting Derwin James. And that's pretty good for quarterback. It's a very nice completion percentage. And he only has one pick while allowing 2 touchdowns and a 93.7 passer rating. So I know we're like, oh, Derwin James, he's so amazing. He's the big do-it-all kind of guy. But what's the point of being a do-it-all guy if you can't do it at an elite level year in, year out? That's like saying, hey, I can build airplanes and I can cook, but then not telling people you work at Boeing and Arby's. Then moving on to my number two, we got the breakout man himself, Kyle Hamilton. Now, you may remember, two drafts ago, I was hyping this man up. I loved him. And this is why. 81 tackles, 3 sacks, 4 picks, 1 forced fumble, and 13 passes broken up. This man is a monster. He's the real do-it-all. He got his first ever first-team All-Pro last year and his first Pro Bowl nod as well. And just looking at the advanced defense, only allows a 54% completion percentage when targeted, and a 38.4 passer rating. This is the real do-it-all guy. And maybe I'm jumping the gun because he's only in his year, and that's why he's not number one. But I'm telling you, Kyle Hamilton is here to stay. But my number one is none other than Jesse Bates, the third of the Atlanta Falcons. 132 tackles with 89 solos. That's pretty good, you know, for a safety. 3 tackles for loss, you know, that's great. But it's just the fact that this man is an absolute ball hawk. 6 interceptions, one of them being a house call, 11 passes broken up, and 3 forced fumbles. And he played all 17 games. This man is everywhere. And he only allows a 67.1% passer rating as well. And only allowed 3 touchdowns with 6 picks. I will take that ratio. I will. And not to mention, this was his first season acclimating to a new scheme. And he now has a new head coach, the defensive-minded Raheem Morris, where his defense should improve now that he actually, you know, knows the guys around him, and he actually has a true defensive-minded head coach. The sky's the limit for Bates. That is all.
It's a good list, and I think we have a lot of the same players on our lists, just in different orders. But my number five is actually Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Understandable.
Yes, he is. So I have him in my top five out of respect for him being Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he's still relatively young. Injuries slowed him down, but I expect him to bounce back. We know what his abilities are. I'm going to have him on the lower end of the top five just because I think how much better he's going to be, that's going to depend on how healthy he is and how good the rest of the defense is, right? If Joey Porter Jr. And a couple of the other kids that they have on that team underperform, then you're overworking that one guy in Minkah Fitzpatrick. So a lot of it depends, but I think he's going to be a top five. I think he's a safe bet to be your number five. My number four, I actually have Derwin James lower than you do at number four. And the reason I have Derwin James there is because, like you said, there's no reason for it to happen, which is why, like, it wasn't even injuries. Yes, he's had injuries before, but this year it was just, he took a step back for no reason at all. And the upside is still there. And this could be just chalked up to a bad year. In fact, I'll bet on it being that way because he's played. We've seen enough from him to believe that he's going to be better. But I still have him lower because I just don't think when you have a down year like that with no reason whatsoever, I think that's more troubling than if it's injuries. That being said, he's in a new scheme. He's with Jim Harbaugh, who is a better defensive-minded coach. And I think that's going to give him some upside there. So I have him a little higher than Fitzpatrick. Two safeties who used to be top two during last year's rankings at this time, towards the bottom. Well, bottom of our top five. They're still top five safeties. That being said, my number three is actually, where is he? Kyle Hamilton. Hamilton is great at everything except run defense. He's really good in pass rush, and he's a very good coverage corner as well, coverage safety as well. The only issue that we have is his run defense. That's kind of what has me a little worried about him. He's still a very good safety, but I feel like in order to be safeties need to be Swiss Army knives. So you need to be able to be good in every single aspect of the game. He's still a great safety, and he's in my top three. But because of that hole, I have him right there. My number two, I have Jesse Bates. Now, Bates had an incredible year. No two ways about it. This guy was good at everything that he did this past season. That being said, this is a ranking for this upcoming year, not last year. And I think looking at the totality of Jesse Bates' career, has he ever been that safety who is the best in the game? No. So I think you're going to see a step back from him. I think he's one of the better safeties in the game, and he probably will be again, which is why I have him number two. But I still think I just don't trust him to continue the production that he's had because he hasn't been what he was last year. That being said, this next corner for number one is Antoine Winfield Jr. He's 25. And the last time I can't remember the last time I've ever seen a safety in the conversation for defensive player of the year. Safeties are typically, like we said, they're Swiss Army knives. They're the guys who they support the corners. They're not better than the corners. And Antoine Winfield Jr. could do it all. He was better than the corners on your team. And he was a big part of a defense that helped to play better than expectations this past season. They finished 9-8, but that was a really good 9-8 for them. Tom Brady leaves the team, and Baker Mayfield lifts them up. Mike Evans finds his old form. Chris Godwin is still a very good wide receiver. But their defense was the unsung heroes. And Antoine Winfield Jr. was the embodiment of that. A defense that was low-key pretty good. And the fact that the centerpiece, was Antoine Winfield Jr., a safety. I just think his production was so incredible and he's always been one of the better safeties in the game. He really elevated his game here, and he deserves every penny of his contract that he has just gotten. I'm usually not in favor of safeties being paid, but this guy is an exception. I have Antoine Winfield Jr. as the number one safety going into next year.
Understandable. I just, like I said, I mean, you heard my reasoning. I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just usually skeptical of guys that have career years and a contract year. I'm not saying he can't do it again, but, you know, when guys get the bag after a contract year, there tends to be a fall off. I'm just looking at trends. But I like your argument, though.
I appreciate it. Okay. I want to look at some of our fan box responses. Patrick Wilver said Brian Branch. I like this one. He was so I think he's too early in his career for anyone to consider him to be a top five safety, but maybe top 10. And he can definitely elevate his game even further. He was definitely the best piece of that secondary, which doesn't say much, but it says something. Cam Sutton's a pretty good corner, and I think Brian Branch was a better safety than Cam Sutton was a corner.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like, much better. But Brian Branch was also a first-round talent who landed in round two. He fell on the Lions' laps. It was also – so here was Ian Mulhern, who said he's a free agent, but Justin Simmons easily. Simmons would be – I think he would have strong consideration for me as a top five guy.
Yeah, same.
But there's something that bothers me about the fact that he's still a free agent.
Yeah, that's true, because Simmons was a guy that I was heavily considering putting in my top five. But the reason I didn't is solely because he's not on a team. And when you have a guy who has, I know he's on the older side, but I would argue he has at least 3 years of like Pro Bowl, perhaps all pro caliber football left.
If that's the case,
then that almost certainly means there is something going on that we don't know. Is it an injury? Does he want too much money? We may never know. But my point is, when there's a guy there that long, that means 9 times out of 10, where there's smoke, there's fire, and something is up.
Right. If no team wants him, like, this has been one of the best safeties in the game. He's been in our top fives each of the last few years when we've done these rankings. Every year, I'm pretty sure we've had him in our top fives.
Yeah.
But he needs to be on a team in order to – and if he – like, you know, the best ability is availability. And if it's week five and we're still saying, why is Justin Simmons not on a team? He's a top five safety. He's not a top five safety this year because he's not on a team, right? We don't get to say Antonio Brown was a top five wide receiver when he was out of the league for a couple of years, where if he was on a team, maybe he would have been top five. But his actions, or whatever it is with Justin Simmons, are what kept him off of a team, out of the league. So I think Justin Simmons, I'm not saying that he isn't still a top safety. He could be. In fact, I would be more inclined to believe he still is, because that's just the safety position. They last much longer. Look at how long Devin McCourty lasted and was still a premier safety.
And Harrison Smith of the Vikings as well. That man played forever.
Right, because the safety position isn't as demanding as many others. Like corners, you have to be glued to the hip of whichever wide receiver you're covering. And if you slow down even a tad, you're done. It's over. Because Justin Jefferson is going to destroy you if you slow down even a little bit or your quickness goes down. You know what I mean? Like, you need to be attached to those guys. So I think, I don't know, maybe Justin Simmons is still top five, but I'm just troubled by the fact that this guy is still without a contract. Like, if he's one of the best in the game, then why are all 32 teams out on him?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it's got to be something that we don't know. And if it was something like an off-field thing, I would wager that we've heard of it by now. It might be like battling an injury or something. That's probably – that's my guess.
Possibly. All right, I want to move on. We're on a bit of a time crunch. AFC East preview. We are going to preview how that division shakes up. Next, this is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast. Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. Let's try to whip through this quick. Get this through in, let's say, 8 minutes. The AFC East. I think the – so, CJ, you can give your input here, but I think I would probably favor the Dolphins to win this division right now. And that's not to say it won't happen, but I think this is the most open I have seen this division in, well, like probably in 20 years.
Yeah, because the Patriots own this division forever. The Buffalo Bills had their stint. But as I've mentioned before, the Buffalo Bills got absolutely gutted in free agency through cap crunch and free agency departures alike. Right. And when I look at the Dolphins, it's not that I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. In fact, I don't think that. I don't really believe it's a possibility because, you know, Tua's just not that guy. And I've said before, they're all sizzle, but there's no steak. It's all flash, no substance.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel cannot outcoach actually good coaches. He throws his weight around with bad teams and then does literally nothing else. But they just have the most talent. And the only other team that I could see making a run is the Jets. But they just have a lottery ticket by the name of Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers can be even half of what he was in his 2 most recent MVP campaigns, then that's good. You're chilling. You're laughing.
Yep.
Oh, but a 40-something-year-old man coming off a torn Achilles playing once again on that evil MetLife field, I do not like his odds all that much. And then there's New England. We don't really need to talk about them. They're deep in rebuilding. New coach, new quarterback. Will the rebuild work? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, unless Drake May becomes like the Justin Herbert or CJ Stroud, but that's rare. That's very rare. We'll reopen New England in like another 2 to 3 years. But Buffalo, look, as long as they have Josh Allen, they're going to have a chance, okay? Let's be real. But you no longer have Stephon Diggs. You don't even have Gabe Davis. You do not have Mitch Morse. And on the defense, you no longer have guys like Leonard Floyd, Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, or Jordan Poyer. So I don't know what to make of the Bills team. It's just, I feel like they'll be decent, but I don't think they're going to win the division. But overall, much like you, I lean towards Miami. Maybe I'll give the Jets, depending on Rodgers, because the Jets have a very good roster. That defense is nasty.
Sure.
But Miami's going to do that thing where they absolutely run up the score on bad teams and then underperform when they face any legit teams and then be another one and done. Because, yeah. Long story short, this is my final point. Whoever wins the AFC East, that's great. None of them are winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would say the outside shot would be the Jets. They're the biggest wild card out of this division. If they turn out to be everything that we think they can be, then they'll be a contender to win the entire thing, right? Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great quarterback, and if he's still at that level, then they're probably going to go there. Their roster is stacked. You have Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams. That's pretty good. And you still have Alan Lazard, who's a solid secondary option as well. You have an offensive line that has built its depth exactly like we wanted them to last offseason. And maybe if they did this last offseason, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have been rehabbing an Achilles by now.
Nah, man, Turf Monster going to get him regardless. It's MetLife, sure, you know.
They didn't work on that offensive line, and on the 3rd snap of the game, I'm telling you, it's not a coincidence. They didn't work on that offensive line. This is all on them. So I think that's the biggest wild card there. And sure, I still give the Bills a chance just out of respect for Josh Allen. But Keon Coleman, Azeez
Khalil Shakir? You mean?
Khalil Shakir. Jeez. I mixed up 2 different players. Khalil Shakir.
Also.
That kid who came from the Commanders, Curtis Samuel,
yeah.
They're all – the only one with wide receiver one upside that we could question is the guy is Keon Coleman. And even he is an outside shot. So we're going to have to see there. I don't love the Bills' chances, but even with the Bills having a down year, I still think they're going to be making a push for the playoffs. I think 10-7 is a solid expectation for them because you have Josh Allen who can still win you some games. Maybe it won't be pretty, but not every season is going to be a 30-plus touchdown year. It's just not – Peyton Manning never did that. There were some years where he threw 20, 25 touchdowns. It happened sometimes. Those were down years for him. It's going to be the same way that Josh Allen is going to have a down year. And that's okay. That happens. But I still believe he's not winning the division. I think the Dolphins were close last year and lost out to a surging Bills team who made a last second division push.
True.
I think them losing Stephon Diggs is going to hurt them more than you think. So yeah. I'm going to take Miami. The Bills are probably going to be the most sure thing to be 10-7. And the Jets could be either first place or last. And then I'm not even talking about the Patriots. They don't.
Yeah, they're rebuilding. Their time.
They're rebuilding. They're not trying to win. They're not even going to start their star quarterback this year. It's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to end up being Jacoby Brissett at least for the first half of the year. I would go for if I'm them. I would go for sitting him the whole year.
Oh, yeah, that's
what I would have. Why would you put him behind that offensive line?
Oh, and Adam, one more thing about the Bills, about why they won't be good. Just look at their division, right? These are six games out of your 17-game schedule. You know, Josh Allen is already turnover prone, and now he doesn't have an elite wide receiver one. And the AFC East has some really good corners, no? The Jets. I mean, just look at all the corner ones. Jalen Ramsey, Sauce Gardner, and Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah.
I don't see Buffalo win this division. I'm sorry, Bills Mafia. Put the tables away.
Yeah. I don't see him winning this division. That's all the scheduled content we have for today. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't.
Yeah. So to summarize, it's got to be – for me, it's going to end up being the Dolphins. That doesn't mean I have them going anywhere. It's basically just a race for who gets blown out in the first round by Houston or Kansas City. It's basically what it's going to be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast and our TikTok at FumbleRooskiPod to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.